Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Now one more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Here in the house and there in your house, I'm so glad that you get to celebrate this Sunday in God's Word, worshiping the Lord right here at Bridgeway Community Church. How y'all doing with this whole Thanksgiving thing? Did you eat a lot? Did you eat enough? Did you anybody feel like they have to repent over the sin of gluttony over this weekend, possibly? Well, in a moment, I'm going to pray for the sermon. So at that time, of course, you can repent for overeating, especially if you, woke up from the itis. Then you'll have to make sure to thank God and at the same time say, Lord, help me out. Maybe those calories, you can pray those right away. Well, I do hope that you did have a happy Thanksgiving. We're in the middle of a series called The Better Gift. Last week, we talked about giving from your first. Next week, we're going to talk about giving beyond your fears. But today, we're going to talk about giving from your faith. I also want to remind you that when we talked last week about giving from your first, we're talking about giving from your first fruits, the earnings that God blesses you with, giving to Him first before anybody else. And we're going to allow you that opportunity as well if you want to take advantage of it on January 1st. It's the first day of the year, it's a Sunday, and we're encouraging you to give an offering to the Lord at the beginning of the year, just to say, God, I'm in anticipation of what you're going to do this year. And in advance, Lord, I just want to bless you and I want to honor you with the very first offering of the year. So take advantage of it. You'll hear more about it. You can start now if you want. Just go online. That first fruit season is from now until the end of January. But on January 1st, we're going to have a ceremony of dedication and consecration for ourselves, for our finances, for our future, and we cannot wait to see what testimonies are going to happen because of 2023's first act, worshiping God with our first fruits giving. Anybody excited about that? I hope you are. God has something in store for you. Now, Lord, as we go into your word, we pray that your word would go into us as we talk about giving from our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. One of my brothers in the Lord who tracks with me in the spirit realm through prayer and through text regularly, about a year ago, we were tracking together and he sent me a text and says, I believe that God is laying an anonymous gift on my heart to bless someone with, and it's coming from 1 Peter chapter 5, where it talks about a young man, young men being humbled and submitting themselves, and then this person that would submit themselves during this test and trust God, they're going to come out on the other side. And he said, what I want to do is bless them with a financial gift. And he says, I don't know who that gift is supposed to be for, but Pastor, if you'll pray for it, if God lays it on your heart, let's give. And so I prayed, and shortly thereafter, a young couple was struggling in their marriage, and the husband of the couple was sharing how they were in desperate need of counseling. But financially, they could not afford the price tag for such counseling that they needed. After praying about it and talking to my brother in the Lord, we agreed that we would bless this couple with this anonymous gift to cover their counseling for a season. Now let's fast forward. Just this past week, this man comes to me and he says, I just want to remind you that a year ago, you blessed me and my wife with this anonymous gift from a donor, and as a result, I wanted to give you a report. And the report is that my wife and I are doing so well. We were able to go to counseling because of the generosity of God's people. And as a result of it, I just want you to know we're in the best place we've ever been in. And I just want to give a personal account and let you know that I thank you. Well, that touched my heart, because when that young man returned to tell me that he was thankful, his gratitude caused me to want to thank God and bless God. I went to the anonymous donor and I shared it with him as well. And together we bless the Lord. Now, why did this man's intentional effort to come back and say, thank you, touch me so personally? Well, one is because I had forgotten that we even had this interaction. So just being reminded of something that you had done, led by the Spirit, is an encouragement. But secondly, because when I reported it back to the brother that was connected to me in this act of generosity, it caused him to be encouraged in his faith as well. But I think most of all, it's because a marriage was strengthened because of the generosity of somebody in the body of Christ. And their strengthened biblical marriage will have an impact on hundreds, if not thousands, of people for the kingdom of God. And so this is a direct reflection, this story, of what I want to talk about today when I read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. That this kind of generosity within the body of Christ actually advances the kingdom of God. So I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to look at verse 12, and let me read it to you. The service that you perform, talking about the service of giving, and the Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Corinth, and they had made a decision that they're going to bless Paul and the other disciples in the ministry of the gospel. Paul calls it a service. And he says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You see, when we give from a heart of faith, we help supply the needs of others, and they end up overflowing with thankfulness to God. Remember how last week we talked about overflow? And we said that overflow is something that God blesses us with when we give from our first. And when we bless God first, he will then move us to a point of overflow. But when we give to God, he not only gives us overflow, but we then bless other people who then overflow with thanksgiving to God. How many of you are overflowing with thanksgiving to God because of the generosity of people in your life? How many of you are thankful because God used someone in your life to help meet your needs? You see, God often uses people to help supply our needs. Money doesn't just fall off of trees, and it doesn't just fall into your lap without human and divine movement behind it. God uses people to create opportunities, to hire you, to write the checks, to discount the cost of goods, to make decisions for grants or for scholarships or for bonuses or for contracts that are awarded to you, or to network you with other people that move you toward success. Money doesn't just fall out of the sky. God uses money, and the divine hookup between God and human beings is the reason why some of you have education, is the reason why some of you are able to pay your mortgage, is the reason why you work well on your job. Yes, you are doing the hard work of working, but God used people to hire you. God used people to help heal you from the medical profession. Some people can't even think on their own unless they take the right kind of medication. Some scientists and chemists had to come up with how to bring a chemical balance. So never believe the people who say, I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I pulled myself up on my own bootstraps. You wouldn't have feet if it wasn't for God. And God had to make somebody manufacture the boots. I'm not saying that you have no part in your success, but what I'm saying is that God uses people and his divine movement of his Holy Spirit to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. And let me just say that God uses people to bless people, but he wants to use you to bless other people. Are you a blessing to others? It all begins with giving to God from your first fruits and then giving to God from a heart of faith. So when we move from 2 Corinthians 9, 12 to verse 13, we pick it up, and this is what the writer continues to say. He says, because of the service of giving generously, by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. I love what he's doing here. He's saying that the fact that you're being generous and the fact that you are being obedient to God is blessing the entire body of Christ. And then he moves on to verses 14 and 15. He basically says your generosity to other people who you've given to in faith will cause them to pray genuinely from their heart for you. Notice what he says in 14 and 15. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. In other words, the recipients of your generosity will not only praise God, but they will pray to God genuinely for your generosity, for what's going on in you. I truly believe that there are people who I've been kind and generous to, who actually pray for me from their hearts. I know that there are people I pray for from my heart because they've been so kind and generous to me. You know how the scriptures talk about your gifts will make room for you? There are people who have given me gifts, and I don't try to make this happen, and I'm not saying that I'm 100% pure in this, but what I do say is this. When someone blesses me with a gift, I cannot help but think about them later. And I cannot help but pray for them later. And it's not that they give the gift so I'll remember them. And it's not that I don't remember people who don't give me gifts. I try to pray for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. But there's just something that makes room in my heart to pray for someone who's blessed me with a gift. I don't know how that works. I just think that this text is coming to life, which basically says that because of the surpassing grace of God has given you, they actually will pray for you. It says their hearts will go out to you. There's just something about it. So I truly believe that God has done this because he wants the body of Christ to love on one another. Amber and I have done our best over the years to be as kind and as generous as possible, even when we were struggling for the first, really personally, financially, for the first 20 years of this church. And I believe that God caused many, of course not everyone, but many to be truly grateful to us, and they pray for the grace of God to continue in our lives. The surpassing grace of God. And I believe that the reason why the surpassing grace of God continues in my life is because there are people who are genuinely praying that it would. God be kind to Anderson. He's human and he's got issues. But be kind to that guy and be gracious to him. Because when you're gracious to him, he tends to be one of those ones that'll be really generous with others. I wonder if God thinks about you that way too, where people pray for you because they know that when God blesses you, you're the kind of person that's going to turn that blessing around. You know everybody's not that way, right? I have some really, really, really good friends, and one of them's gone home to be with the Lord. They started a company, and they massively made a lot of money. It was one of those government contracting situations, and they just made multiple millions of dollars in the first few years. And I remember one was a good friend and a disciple. The other one was an acquaintance, but he didn't follow the Lord. And it was three of them. And when the three of them made it big, they all took home multiple millions of dollars. And it was only the one that was my friend and my disciple and my mentee and my brother in the Lord who I loved, who had always said to me, "Doc, if I ever make it big, I'm going to bless the church. I'm going to bless God. I'll even want to quit and I want to volunteer for the church." He was a young man. And they made it big. And immediately he wanted to bless the Lord. Started with the flooring in the lobby of this church. And I can just remember all the things. And he was so joyous in doing it. But the other one, who I knew very well, was so stingy. He made the most out of all three of them. You couldn't talk about giving 10% to the Lord. He couldn't give 1% to the Lord. So I know a lot of people who are very rich and they're very stingy. And I know a lot of people who aren't rich at all and they're very generous. And God really doesn't care about the amount. We've talked about this over and over again. The woman who gave two mites, two little pennies, if you will, gave more than the rich people who gave their money all loudly in the offering. Because remember, God doesn't need the money, but this woman was willing to give her all, in the Bible it says, where the others just wanted everybody to hear about it. And so I think that this verse, what it does, these verses, when you look at 2 Corinthians 9, verses 12, and you get through verse 15, there is something that overflows in people's spirit when generosity takes place. There was a man that called me in July, and I hesitate sharing the story to some degree, but I hope that the power of the story will show you my motive. But he called me in July when I was on sabbatical, and I hadn't heard from him in years. And he said, Dr. Anderson, I just want to call you. I said, is everything okay with your marriage? He goes, yes, I'm in a second marriage now, but it's been many years. But I wanted to call you to thank you for how you walked with me during that very, very difficult time in my life. And he says, you would call me on holidays. I would call you, and you would pick up the phone and pray with me. You'd walk with me. I couldn't believe the kindness of you. And I said, man, that was like over 10 years ago. I forgot all about that. And he lives in another state, but, you know, he was here for a time. And he said, I just want to bless you financially. And I said, really? This is just this summer. I said, you don't have to do that. I said, I did it because this is what God called me to do. He goes, I know, but I just want to bless you. And I was like, no, man, it's just really not necessary. But how much? I just want to know. You know, I just want to know. And I said, you want my Cash App or whatever? And he said, it's this amount, you know. And then I said, really, thank you for that. And I didn't do it for that. But thank you. And before he ended the call, I said, how is your wife? He goes, man, she's into this crypto thing. And she runs this whole crypto thing. And she goes, Doc, if you ever wanted more information about it, let me know. But let me know where to send this money. And I said, well, I've heard about the whole crypto thing. And I don't know what's good, what's bad. I don't have time to even learn about it. A lot of people do, and they love that stuff. I got to write messages and lead people. I just don't have time for that. And he goes, great, well, just call if you ever want more information. I said, by the way, that money you were going to send me, if I never see it, I'll never know what I lost. Do you want to do the crypto thing with that? Sure. I said, well, I don't want to do anything. He goes, I'll just take the money, I'll give it to my wife, and I'll let her do everything. I said, perfect. So I don't have to do anything? He goes, you don't have to do a thing. But let me tell you how it worked for me. And so he told me how it worked. I said, that sounds good. Go for it. And he says, Doc, probably within 4 months, it's going to double. I was like, well, if I lose everything, it doesn't matter. I never saw it, right? So it's better for me not to even see it. And so he calls me in October. He says, Doc, it's double. How do you want to take it out? I said, I don't. I've never seen it, so just let it grow. But hear my heart here. This guy's overflowing with thankfulness. So God touches his heart to say, call somebody who was there for you 10 years ago. And bless them. And now here I'm blessed with an amount of money that's growing and doubling that I've never seen and I've never touched. How does that work? Can somebody please say overflow? Come on, can somebody please type in overflow? Say overflow. Because when God begins to use human beings to drop gifts in your life that you don't deserve, you didn't earn, you can't say, I did this, so I got a check for that. That's when you know that God is doing a surpassing work of grace in your life. And when you are generous, God will bring overflow of thanksgiving in the hearts of people that will bless you. I could be here all day long and tell you stories, man. Some of y'all want to remember we used to do something called Tuesday night prayer. We used to do it in the very room I'm standing in. And there would be maybe about 50 or so people. And I remember in Tuesday night prayer, We would do something that old school folk, I guess old folk do, called a testimony service. So before we prayed, we would have microphones, and we would just tell people. It was unscripted service. It was no like, it was just really informal. And we did this for years. And I remember this one woman, African-American, probably in her late 20s, I don't remember exactly who she is, comes to the front of our altar, and she stands behind the microphone, and she talks about how, could you guys please pray for me because I can't afford to pay my rent. And I remember as she's telling the story, I'm thinking, well, I wonder if people in the audience are going to like maybe give her money or how this thing's going to go. I don't remember the flow of the whole night, but I do remember what happened when I went back to my office. I opened up my computer before going home. It's about 9 or so, and it's one of those situations where do you open the computer or don't open the computer? I should have like, don't open the computer, just go home. But I opened the computer. And there was an email from a man in the Netherlands in a place called Amsterdam. And he says, you know, y'all were having Tuesday night prayer. White man, remember, black woman, watching on the internet our Tuesday night prayer service. I don't think our people would want stuff like that on the internet now. I kind of like it, you know, just show them everything raw. I mean, it was so raw, it was just a camera up, it was just online. But it's a white dude in Amsterdam who sees this woman who says she can't pay her rent, and she named it $900 a month. This man sends an email and says, me and my family have been wanting to do something kind. We're not Christians, but we've been trying to teach our kids to be kind. Would it be okay if we could pay that woman's rent? Now, what do you think that woman said when we got a hold of her and said, there's a white man in the Netherlands who wants to pay your rent? Well, I turned it over to Tim Samuel to make sure, our CFO, that it wasn't a scam and all this. And once they did all the vetting, guess what? This dude and his young kids not only paid this black woman's rent that month, but they asked, would it be okay if we could pay her rent every month? I said, God has no boundaries when it comes to race or geography. He can meet your need. Can somebody say overflow? I'm telling you that distance doesn't stop God from answering your prayers. God can meet your need in a way you don't even know he can meet it. Don't let the devil make you so logical that you think that if I just do it my way, then somehow I'll be able to make the budget. I'm telling you, God's economy is not man's economy. And if you need rent paid, God can use the internet for somebody in another country to pay your rent in that moment. There's no accounting for this. These verses remind us of a couple of things. One, that generosity causes others to praise God because of your giving. And two, generosity causes others to pray to God because of his grace in you. See, when you give to God's people, you're giving to God. And when you give to someone in need, you're giving to God. And when you give to God's church, you're giving to God. I mean, if I could just put this sermon in a sentence, I'd put it like this. When you give to God from your faith and with a heart of gratitude, God is glorified, others are overflowing with thanksgiving, and you are blessed. Let me say it again. When you give to God from your faith and with a heart of gratitude, number one, God is glorified. Number two, others are overflowing with thankfulness. And number three, you are blessed. So then the question might be, well, Pastor, how do I give? How do I work this thing out? Well, I'll use the balance of my message to talk about five ways to give from your faith. Five ways to give from your faith. And to make it easy, the outline spells the word faith. F-A-I-T. H. And I'll give you multiple choice so you can help me build the outline. Okay, here's the first way to give from your faith. Number one, give. Here are four options. Fast, first, freely, or fancy. What's the answer? Be first. So that's our first point. How do I give from faith? First of all, I give first. Now I'm going to give you a scripture for each one. So here's the scripture for this one. 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. Let me read what it says. And remember last week we talked about Proverbs 3:10, you know, honor God with the first fruits of your wealth and all that, right? Well, here's one, 1 Corinthians 16 verses 1 and 2. I quote, "Now about the collection of God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do." Verse 2. On the what day? On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it so that when I come, no collection will be made. So giving first to God at the top of the week, at the beginning of the month, as soon as you get it, give to God first. We'll do it at the first of the year. Secondly, give, and this is the A, here are your choices. Anxiously, ably, attitudinally, anonymously. Which one? How many say A, anxiously? Good, glad nobody raised your hands. I hope nobody typed it in the chat. How about B, ably? Just type it in the chat. C, attitudinally? Or D, anonymously? Okay, I see some people waving. All right, the scripture for this one is Matthew 6, verses 1 through 4, and the correct answer is anonymously. This is what Jesus says. "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So practice giving anonymously. It doesn't mean you can never say what you're giving or when you're giving, but what you don't want to do is make a public service announcement that this is what I give all the time. I don't think that that honors God. You get your reward in full, Jesus says. There's something about giving anonymously that really shows that your heart for giving is really to bless the Lord and other people, not to get your attention, put attention on you. Does that make sense? So how do I give, Pastor? The F, give first. The A, give anonymously. All right? Now, what is the third one? The I. Here are your options. Give instantly, give inspiringly, give intentionally, or give ignorantly. How many chose ignorantly? Don't raise your hand because that'd be ignorant. All right. The right answer, intentionally. And we find in the verse we read earlier, even in 1 Corinthians 16, 1, where the writer said, "Set aside a sum of money in keeping with one's income." So you're setting it aside. That's intentional giving. But the particular passage I want to give you for this is 2 Corinthians 9, which is the chapter we've been in. But look at verses 1 and 2, and then also verse 5, and you're going to see a sense of intentionality. The writer says this, "There is no need for me to write to you about this service of giving to the saints. For I know your eagerness," look at that word, "your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians," other believers in another location called Macedonia, "telling them that since last year, you and I in Achaia were ready to give." So since last year, they had been preparing this gift. "And your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action." See those words? Eagerness to help, ready to give, enthusiasm that has stirred others to move to action. And then verse 5. "So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be," here's a word, "ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given." So there is something about giving intentionally, giving with a sense of strategy, giving with a sense of preparedness. It doesn't mean spontaneous giving is not good. Yes, but spontaneous giving shouldn't be the only time you give, right? Because you feel guilty or you feel inspired by the preacher. No, spontaneous giving is good, but prepared giving is better. We're talking about the better gift. right? We're talking about a gift where you're preparing in your heart and your mind in keeping with your income to give enthusiastically, to give in a prepared way, to give because you are eager to give, okay? Now let's look at the fourth one. Here are your options. It begins with a T. Give tithe, give time, give talents, give triple. Which one is it? What do you say? Type it in. Tithe, time, talents, triple. All right. How many people said time? Okay. A couple of you. How many people said talents? No one there. Okay. How many people said triple? I like that one. But it is tithe. Okay. That's the answer. Tithe. Give a tithe. Now listen to what Malachi says. It's the last book of the Bible, and in Malachi 3, verses 10 through 12, some of you have heard it before, others of you, this might be the first time you've heard this. Listen to God's word. He commands, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Can somebody say overflow? He says, verse 11, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. The Lord is saying, bring in the whole tithe, and he gives three promises to go with it. He says, if you do, I will pour out much blessing, verse 10. If you do, I will prevent disaster, verse 11. If you do, you will possess a delightful land, and other people will see what you have, and then you'll give glory to God. Pour, prevent, possess, three promises. I will pour out a blessing. You can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. My mama used to say that all the time. You can't beat God's giving no matter how hard you try. He will pour out a blessing. But I love the second one, that promise where he says, and I will prevent pests. Anybody got pests in their life? He says, listen, if you give from a heart of faith and if you bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, I will prevent disaster. The pest will come. Look, you can do all that work and build up a harvest and the pest will come and take it all away. You see, we have to understand that God's blessing in our life is not just financial gain. It's protecting us from financial losses. There could be a storm that comes through your neighborhood and yours is the only one where the roof didn't fall in. God is not a God who only provides. He's a God who prevents. And so he's saying, I'm promising you, if you will just do the way I've been trying to teach you to do it, I will pour out so much blessing you'll have overflow. I will prevent disaster. And thirdly, you will possess a delightful land. There's a lot of people who have a lot of possessions and they're not even delighted about it. A delightful land. Like there's nothing like seeing somebody who has so much and they are full of joy and the joy of the Lord. That's beautiful. Again, you know a lot of people who have possessions. I know a lot of people who have possessions. And there are people, look, I've been to countries where people don't have anything and they have more joy in their heart than people who have a whole lot of stuff. And that's ridiculous, don't you think? It's not ridiculous for the people who don't have a whole lot of stuff. It's ridiculous for the people who believe the lie that if I have a whole bunch of stuff, I'm going to be happy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And he says you will possess a delightful land, but that delightful land you'll know came because of the way you did it. You did it for God. Well, let's take you to the last one. We talked about what? Five ways, right? To give, how to do it. So here's the H. Here's your last sort of quiz here. You ready? Give holy, give healthy, give hungry, or give hilariously. All right, type it in. Which one? A, B, C, or D? How many of y'all say holy? Wave. Okay, that's good. They're like, I don't know this one. How many say healthy? Give healthy. Give healthy. Okay, a couple of you. How many say hungry? Just give hungry. Yeah, some of y'all are hungry right now. Ain't giving a thing. Okay, and then here's the last one. Give hilariously. All right, the answer is hilariously. All right, and here's the verse for it. 2 Corinthians 9:7. We've been in 2 Corinthians 9 for a minute here. And in verse 7, it says this. Each man or woman should give what he has decided, there's that intentionality again, in his heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. And that word cheerful in the Greek language that this text was written in is the word hilarious. So 5 ways to give from your faith. Number 1, give first, give anonymously, give intentionally, give a tithe, give hilariously. Sermon in a sentence. When you give to God from your faith and with a heart of gratitude, God is glorified. Others are overflowing with thankfulness. And you are blessed. There was a woman who was working and she was making money, but then the factory shut down in her town and she became unemployed. But this woman every day would come out the front of her house and stand on her porch, her little country porch in that small town, and she would say, God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. But she had a neighbor who was an atheist, and he would say, there ain't no God. But the next morning, a woman would say it again. She'd come out every morning, stretch her arms, and say, God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. And the neighbor would holler out the window, there ain't no God. Well, this would go on every day, and I guess the atheist neighbor got tired of it. Word got around that she was falling on hard times because the factory had closed, that she was having a hard time even getting groceries. But even though she was struggling, she would still come out every morning, stretch her arms, and say, God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. Well, he decided that he was going to go to the grocery store, buy a bunch of groceries, and leave it anonymously on her front porch. And so the next morning when she came out, she opened the door, and she saw all the groceries. And she said, God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Look at all these groceries. And she took it and she brought it into the house and she took the next one and brought it in the house and she came out one last time. Praise the Lord. God is good. And the atheist jumped out of the bushes and he said, honey, that wasn't God. It was me. There ain't no God. I'm the one that bought you the groceries. And she started dancing around saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. And the atheist said, why are you praising God? There ain't no God. I said, I'm the one who bought you the groceries. And she kept jumping up and down. And she started dancing. And she said, yes, I hear you, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm honoring him because not only did he provide me groceries, but he got the devil to pay for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, we have a God that's good all the time. And he will take care of you no matter who he uses in order to accomplish his purposes. Can somebody say overflow? We have a God who will overflow blessings into our life. The question is, will you give him glory for your story? In Jesus' name, I pray and preach this message. Amen. And amen.
Wow.